Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from a beautiful little town outside Munich, Germany, and transmitted from to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. I want to thank everyone so much for listening and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And if you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support today, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I'd like to thank Corey and Saul of Kirkland for their wonderful contribution to the Hopi Library recently, as well as Brian from Texas Caregiver Services for his contribution for Hopi Clean Water, as well as the help and support of my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful help for years on my radio show, as well as Marion Elias in Costa Rica, my friends Emma Louise and Jan Erik in Norway, Saskia in Dresden, Germany, and everyone around the world who's helped me make this world a better place and raise consciousness. On today's program, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing Professor Brian Josephson from Cambridge University. Professor Josephson is a Nobel Peace Prize winner in physics. Professor Josephson is a theoretical physicist at the University of Cambridge University in England, and is best known for his superconductivity work. His interview will be followed by Shivani, who is one of the most amazing and very powerful spiritual people in the entire world. Shivani has over 110 million followers on her YouTube channel and nearly 3 million followers on Facebook. I know you'll find her interview really inspiring and uplifting. Then from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful healer named Ursula from Zurich, Switzerland, followed by Eve Ruman, an intuitive pianist from Lausanne, Switzerland. Eve is a fantastic musician, and I know you'll really enjoy his work. Finally, wrapping up the 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. hour, I'll interview a lady from Los Angeles who successfully beat cancer last year through prayers and meditation. Her name is Jennifer Langring, and her story is an amazing and inspiring one for anyone fighting cancer today. I wanted to tell everyone that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the other side. If you'd like to get in contact with your loved ones and friends who are on the other side, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I also wanted to tell you of some fantastic upcoming events. I'll be going to Mount Shasta, California, in about 2 weeks now. The first trip will be from July 2nd to July 8th, and the second trip will be from September 5th to 11th, 2019. There is still room on both trips, and the cost is just $200 per person, and it includes free camping. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur, and we always always visit the Telos and the Hollow Earth and see lots of Sasquatch and UFOs. 100 miles beneath the mountain of Mount Shasta, there's the city of Telos, a fifth-dimensional Lemurian city that has been there for about 12,500 years. Their technology is thousands of years ahead of us here on the surface of the planet, and we always see their spacecraft going in and out of Mount Shasta when we're camped down there. We also see lots of Sasquatch as well. And the Sasquatch always ask for people to bring lots of cinnamon rolls covered with white frosting. The cinnamon rolls and white frosting is something that's very difficult to get in the woods around Mount Shasta, so they always ask me to ask people to bring that along. Of course, non-GMO organic cinnamon rolls are some of their favorite. When I was at Mount Shasta last September in 2018, I was visited by Adama, the high priest of Telos in the Hollow Earth, And he asked me if I wanted a healing. And of course, I said yes. For the past 35, 40 years, I've had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye. But after he gave me a healing last September, I now have perfect 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes. Other miracle healings have also happened at Mount Shasta. In September 2017, I had a lady named Tammy from Minnesota who came on the trip. And while she was camped out in our campground, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, a Sasquatch surrounded her van where she was sleeping. And they asked her if she wanted a healing. She had been crippled for decades and unable to walk without the assistance of crutches in a wheelchair. And she said yes. So the next thing that she knows is that there's a UFO craft right on top of her van from the hollow earth. They send a beam of light to her van. The top of the van opens up. She's transported, like on Star Trek, to the spacecraft. She's given a new set of legs and then put back into the van. She falls back to sleep again. The next morning, we were all at the campsite, and she was running around yelling out loud, "They healed me! They healed me!" Everybody thought she was on drugs until I was able to stop her, and I asked her what had happened. And she said that they had healed her and given her a new set of legs. She's been walking fine since then, and it's amazing the kind of healings that they can do. In 2016, there was another lady on the trip who had fibromyalgia for decades. And she said she was so tired of taking drugs and painkillers for this debilitating disease. And during one night at Mount Shasta, she told me that the Telosians took her into the city of Telos and bathed her in a golden yellow and white light. She was brought back to the campsite. And ever since that time, her fibromyalgia has been completely gone, and she hasn't needed to use any drugs whatsoever. Finally, last September in 2018, there was a good friend of mine named Jason Armstrong. He's been on my show many times before. He channels Adama, and last September, he had been camping at Mount Shasta with our group when Adama healed his eyesight. He had been wearing glasses for about 20 or 25 years, and now he also has perfect crystal clear vision in both eyes. Finally, there was an older man from Austria who was on the trip last year. He'd had Lou Gehrig's disease for decades, and Lou Gehrig's disease can be a very debilitating illness where finally your muscles don't work anymore, and people have great difficulty walking without crutches or a cane. And he was also given a healing. And after he was given a healing, he ran about a mile or two back to his car for the first time in decades. So miracle healings do occur on the mountain. I can't guarantee it'll happen every time, but if you're open to it, they are here to help. And I guarantee you'll have an out-of-this-world experience. If you're interested in going on either these July or September trip to Mount Shasta, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for clean water on both the Hopi and Navajo Indian reservations in Arizona. And I wanted to let you know that our efforts, our work is continuing to bring clean water to both of these beautiful Indian tribes, as well as a funding for a new library for the Hopi in Arizona. And with that, I would like to especially thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support of the new library for the Hopi. If you're interested in donating, $125 will buy a brand new water filter, which will last for years, to take out the arsenic and carcinogens in the water currently being drank by the Hopi and the Navajo. A wonderful lady named Teresa gave a generous $30,000 contribution last year to clean water, new clean water filters for the Hopi, and we want to thank her so much for that. But however, still more water units are needed for both the Hopi and the Navajo. And if you'd like to donate, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to play my first interview today with Professor Brian Josephson, a Nobel Peace Prize winner at Cambridge University. Professor Josephson is a theoretical physics and is a professor of theoretical physics and at the University of Cambridge in England. He is best known for his pioneering work in superconductivity and quantum tunneling, and he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for physics in 1973 for his discovery of the Josephson effect, made in 1962 when he was just 22 years old as a PhD student at Cambridge. I interviewed him earlier this week in Cambridge. He's an amazing man. He has set up the Mind-Matter Unification Project at Cambridge to explore the idea of quantum mechanics and consciousness, and he has expressed support for parapsychology, water memory, and cold fusion. He's an amazing scientist, and I know you'll enjoy his interview today. Please listen. Hello, friends. I'm with Professor Ryan Josephson here in Cambridge University in England. Dr. Josephson, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it.
Hello.
Dr. Josephson is a theoretical physicist at Cambridge University. His primary work is in superconductivity and quantum tunneling. He was the Nobel Peace Prize winner in physics in 1973 for what's called the Josephson effect, made in 1962 when he was just 22 years old, working on his PhD.
It was Nobel Physics Prize.
Oh, Nobel Physics Prize. Oh, wonderful. In the early 1970s, he took up transcendental meditation, and he set up the Mind-Matter Unification Project to explore the idea of intelligence in nature and the relationship of quantum mechanics and the consciousness of the synthesis of quantum mechanics and consciousness. He supports parapsychology and water memory with cold fusion. He's a fascinating fellow, and I just want to thank him so much for coming on today.
Mm-hmm.
I've left him speechless. Professor Josephson, you were talking about earlier about a paper you're going to present before a group of Nobel laureates, Peace Prize winners, and you were going to talk about the paper was on the combination of physics and biology.
Yes, this is the direction I'm pushing now in the mind-matter unification. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a way, say, very acceptable to physicists because I see it as two cultures, the physics culture and the biology culture, not quite the same as C.P. Snow's two cultures, mm-hmm. but physicists and biologists sort of use a different approach. Physics is very much mathematics-based, mm-hmm. whereas biology, you can't do mathematical calculations, really. You look at all the phenomena. But when you look at it, it turns out people have gradually been getting to the kind of general principles that physicists like. A very ancient idea that signs having meaning, that's one of them, but there are subtler ideas as well. And what you should be able to do with these is to make models that you can explore, and that would really help you understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. One of the things, as I'm a psychic myself, and I regularly go into the higher different dimensions to talk to spirits who are supposedly dead, but they're still quite much alive. Do you think this is a transition time now where science is recognizing that there are other dimensions and other realities?
Well, I think of necessity because if we follow this approach, and I should say a lot of people are following similar lines, and I'm just putting it all together, then we'll get to a deeper understanding of the mind and also reality. And I think these dimensions will necessarily come up. Actually, quite a long time ago, I collaborated with a Greek physicist on explaining the paranormal with hidden variables. But that was sort of not, we couldn't really put it all together into a complete theory, but that's the kind of thing which will come out of it. And I think memory of water is another example of significance at work. So I think you have to get the right approach, and then people will take interest. This is a sort of theoretical one. I'm not saying you have to believe this experiment. I'm saying look at these concepts and think about them.
The memory of water is a fascinating topic, but yet, why do you think there's such resistance in some parts of the scientific community against it? That they're so, some people are so they're not willing to accept the idea.
This is because I think the scientific community is a kind of club, and people club together. There's the history of what happened. As it happens, I met Ben Van Ist, heard him talk before this business with Nature. And, well, it's partly the medical people that are very much against it. They don't like homeopathic medicines. They have actually have faulty arguments against it because you don't necessarily need any molecules to get an effect. But it had become the norm, as it were, that it's nonsense. And so John Maddox uses it as the opportunity to attack, and people don't look deeply into these unorthodox things. They just accept superficial arguments, and it becomes, well, once you've stated a position, it's difficult to get round it. But I think time will come. It has happened in the past, like tectonic plates, that sort of thing. Continental drift, the thing in that case. So I think at some point the things will be accepted, and probably quite soon.
Yes, I hope so. I had a guest on my show several years ago who had vivid memories of living in Atlantis many thousands of years ago, Professor Josephson, and he described water computers based upon H3O10 using the additional layers of oxygen molecules as memory storage devices.
I think somebody's going to have to make H3O10.
Yeah. right. Yeah.
Of course, DNA is now being used as for memory and computing, and people are working on nanomaterials, making structures which behave in special ways. There's kind of movement in that direction, doing more things with matter.
Interesting. What kinds of things in the short term do you think science will be discovering this year and in the coming future?
Well, I'm maybe not psychic enough to know that.
All right. Would you like to say anything else, Professor Josephson? I really enjoyed talking to you today.
One thing that I hope will happen before too long is a general acceptance of cold fusion as being a real phenomenon, with it being developed to become a useful source of energy.
Let me ask you one more question quickly. Do you think there's a God that's behind all this, or a supreme being that helps engineer all these interesting phenomena?
Well, certainly this kind of picture allows scope for a deeper mind that's in charge of things. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention my fourth heresy, intelligent design. As regards experience, well, certainly I think there's some source of inspiration for my experience, and I don't know if one can definitely go further.
Well, Professor Josephson, thank you so much for coming on my show today. It's wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much again, sir.
Thank you.
Hello, friends. My next interview is with Maureen and Rachel of the Brahmakumari Center in London, England. The Brahmakumaris are a worldwide spiritual movement dedicated to personal transformation and world renewal. Founded in India in 1937, Brahmakumaris has spread to over 110 countries on all continents, and their real commitment is to help individuals transform their perspective of the world from the material to the spiritual. It supports the consciousness of peace and the individual dignity of each soul. Brahmakumaris is the largest spiritual organization in the world, led by women, which has set it apart from other world religious and spiritual organizations. And they write that although women hold the top positions in the organization, the women who hold these positions have always made their decisions in support and cooperation with their male colleagues. They are an amazing organization, and I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Rachel and Maureen from the London Center of Brahmakumaris. Hello, friends. I'm in London at the Brahma Community Center, and I'm with Rachel and
Maureen.
And Maureen, thank you. Thank you, Maureen Center. Tell us a little bit about your work and why meditation and going within is so important.
Thank you. Lovely to meet everyone. It's very important for the world today that people have time to reflect, to go within, and to understand what their purpose is in life. Because it really feels that people are moving from one scene of chaos to another, and life is very difficult when you can't see a clear direction, and especially when there's so many difficulties that people are facing, so many challenges in their day-to-day life. Meditation is a very key skill that we need today. In fact, I can't just say we need it today. It's something that's eternal, that has been around for a very long time, and people practicing meditation, people practicing that state of inner peace and that connection with God, they have actually been helping our world for centuries. And it's something that we all need to do together now to help the planet. Mm-hmm. I love the word instrument. And of course, when a good musician is playing an instrument, however good the musician is, so will be the music. But also the instrument plays a part in being a true good instrument. And so if we really want to help this world, as we connect with the divine, with a clean heart, with a true heart, we all have the possibility of becoming instruments to spread peace, to spread goodness, to spread virtues.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's very inspirational.
Thank you.
And are you the head of the center here in London?
No, we have a team, but also we have a senior sister here called Sister Genty. She's actually our European director, and she travels widely and is really articulates spiritual truths with a lot of depth. Also, she's very key in helping us to understand what's happening in terms of climate change, mm-hmm. and the connection between consciousness and climate change. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's the person we look to. I'm the program director in the UK, and so help with the events and programs and courses and the direction that we move in, and work with many different communities, which is very beautiful.
Thank you so much, Maureen. Really appreciate you coming on today. And Rachel, please tell me about your work.
Hello, and very nice to be on your show. Thank you very much, Ted. I'm a relatively new kid on the block here. I've been around about 15 years, whereas Maureen's been here for over 40, right? So I feel quite young. I'm mainly helping with events and media. And I think you were talking recently with Sister Shivani, and you were talking about how, you know, media can be a very positive influence or it can be a very negative influence. And right now in the world, media, you know, it's giving a lot of content that brings you down rather than takes you up. And so I think we're really interested in redressing that balance a bit. How can we help ourselves, first of all, number one, myself, but how can we help people think more positively about themselves, about their lives, about other people, about what's going on in the world? Now, there's all sorts of things going on in the world. There are a lot of challenges in the world for all of us personally, but also socially, politically. What can I do, first of all, to make sure that I don't get so influenced that I go down with it, but what can I do to make things better in a practical way? Now, I may not be able to go to wherever the disaster is, but how can I use my mind, how can I use my thoughts to just send good wishes, not to be influenced by the sadness, not to be influenced. That's not to say I don't feel for people, but actually if I'm brought down too, I can't help. I always love the saying that, you know, if someone, you come and someone's down, you know, down a pit, if you jump too, you can't help them. So how do I help them? And I help them by recognizing, and this for me has been such an eye-opener, recognizing the value of each and every thought and the power I have to make a real difference just through my vibrations, through the vibrations of my thought. And, you know, there are many things in my personal life where really quite sad or shocking things have happened. And I've realized that if I can actually stay connected with that inner self, with that feeling of being that peaceful being, that being of love, that being of kindness and compassion, and then come from that place to deal with whatever I'm dealing with, I can contribute in a very positive way, but also, as I say, I prevent myself from being negatively affected. So I think it's for all of us, whoever we are. You don't have to be, in inverted commas, spiritual, because actually we all are spiritual. But, you know, you don't have to be in a special role or whatever. All of us have the capacity to make a huge difference to our own lives, number one, to the lives of our families, to the lives of our communities, to the lives of absolutely everyone in the world. And even with a thought, I can make a difference right across the world. So I think it's for all of us to realize the privilege, but also the responsibility we have of the kind of thoughts that I choose. So.
Wonderful. Rachel Maureen, would you mind giving out your email addresses or contacts information if people wanted to learn more about your center here?
Perhaps could give out the website. The website.
Website, yes.
Would be the best. So it's brahmakumaris.org.
Okay.
Brahmakumaris, B-R-A-H-M for mother, A-K-U-M for mother, A-R-I-S for sugar, .org. And actually there you'll find details of our work all over the world, which is now in 110 countries.
Wow, what a beautiful thought. Well, this is Ted from Out of This World Radio here at the beautiful Brahma Kumari Center in London, England. And I want to thank you both so much for coming on my show today. You have these wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much.
We've loved it.
Thank you.
Hello, friends. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Rachel and Maureen of the Brahmakumari office in London, England. My next interview is with a wonderful spiritual person named B.K. Shivani. Shivani is well-known and loved by millions of people. She has over 110 million followers on her YouTube channel and nearly 3 million people following her Facebook page. She's really working hard to help raise consciousness all over the world to help make this planet a much better and happier place. For example, she wrote in a Facebook post recently that, quote, "I am a powerful being. I empower everyone I meet, and I appreciate them for who they are. Today, I share with each one of you their qualities which make them beautiful souls. I can see only goodness in every being." This interview was conducted some days ago in London, England, and I hope you'll enjoy this interview I had with Shivani just a few days ago. How are you doing today?
Extremely sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, that's all right. Koi baat nahi. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Well, it's so...
How is the connection?
The connection is good. The connection is good. It's good. Can you hear me okay?
As of now, fine. It was just a little disturbed in the earlier part.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we can hear each other well now.
One sec. Is this on Wi-Fi?
Good. Well, I first want to thank you so much for your beautiful work in raising consciousness and making this planet a better place. You've had a tremendous impact on helping people raise their vibrations, and you've discovered and helped people transform their lives just through their thoughts and learn to meditation and transforming their lives through awakening.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're doing a tremendous work, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Thank you.
Your work has really picked up. The description of your work on the internet, it said that during the past 5 years you've toured India, the United Kingdom, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and the Middle East, enthralling packed audiences, thousands of people with your live shows. And I think your work's going to become even more well known and helping people around the planet.
Thank you. Actually, at the Brahma Kumaris, we have centers all over the world, in over 130 countries. Mm-hmm. So because there's a family everywhere, mm-hmm. and everyone is with the same intention to share what we've learned with everybody. Mm-hmm. So together we arrange and organize these programs. So everyone who's open to the idea of practicing meditation.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, a lot of people today, let's say they're listening to you for the first time on my show, Shivani. How would you describe your work to them briefly? And if someone's down and out or having a difficult time in life, what words of wisdom would you give to them?
Actually, we never believe that we're doing any work. We were only working on our own self.
Okay.
So really the intention and the agenda was not about doing something or taking something out to the world. The intention started only with working on the self. And Raj Yoga is a meditation we learn and practice at the Brahma Kumaris, along with spiritual study daily. And when you start doing something with yourself and you experiment and you experience a result, it's just human nature to share it with others. So it starts by sharing with people close to you. It starts with sharing with strangers you meet. And then suddenly it just starts with sharing with bigger audiences. Mm-hmm. So it's really, the work was the inner work. It was not about doing it with other people. Mm-hmm. But what we are learning as a part of a spiritual lifestyle and meditation practice is taking responsibility of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. We're living in times where we blame people and situations for how we are feeling. And, you know, so we blame people and situations for our stress, anxiety, fear. When we start practicing meditation, we realize that that's such an illusion that we were living in. And once I understand that I am the creator of my every thought and feeling, I will shift from being a victim to being a master of my own life. And then start responding the right way to every situation. And I think that's all that it needs to create miracles in our life.
Well, that's a very powerful and very profound statement. Thank you so much for sharing that. So if someone's having a difficult time in life, they need to look inward within themselves. Is that correct?
It's not really when you are having a difficult time. It's just something that we should do daily. You know, we should not wait for the day we have a difficult time. Mm. It's like we don't exercise the day we're not well. We exercise daily so that the chances of falling ill reduce drastically. So daily, if we inculcate certain levels of self-care, at the Brahma Kumaris, we dedicate an hour for ourselves every morning. Mm-hmm. And every morning begins with a spiritual study. Mm-hmm. A spiritual study where we are understanding about ourselves, our relationship with God, studying content which is about acceptance, respect, compassion. It's a study. But I've experienced that whatever you study on a daily basis very soon becomes a part of your thinking, your being, your behaving, and your living. If we absorb content which is full of aggression, fear, jealousy, ridicule, criticism, very soon that's what our thoughts become. So if we have a daily practice of study, and meditation means contemplating and visualizing what we have studied, and then preparing ourselves to be that way during the day. So then when someone has not been right to us, or like you said, people who are feeling low because of a situation in their life, they wouldn't feel low because they would create the right thought in that situation. But even if they're feeling low right now, just withdraw from absorbing any negative content from media and social media. Mm-hmm. I met a sister a few days back and she says, everybody seems to be so happy. Why is it that my life is not perfect? And I say, why do you believe that? She said, that's what I see on social media. I said, okay, so quit social media for 15 days and you'll start liking your life. So, you know, media and social media is having a very deep impact on our thought process. So we don't quit it, but we definitely keep some time for absorbing content which is very pure, spiritual, and which connects us to God, And that is what channelizes our thinking into the right direction. And so facing a situation becomes very simple after that. We just build our emotional immunity system. Like we work towards our physical immunity system, we also need to take care of our emotional immunity system so that we are strong even if situations are not right.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. What beautiful words of wisdom, Shivani.
Thank you.
No, it's just such a delight to hear from you. It's like receiving liquid sunshine when I hear your advice. My station, my program is based in Seattle, in the United States, and much of our mass media is focused in on negative things. I'd say probably 90 to 95% of the media, the stories they have in our mass media back home in the United States are mostly negatively based. And so,
right, but that's what's happened in the last couple of decades, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're absorbing a lot of content, and like you said, 90 to 95% is negative. So what would be the quality of thoughts after that? That's our emotional diet. What we consume is our emotional diet. What we watch, read, listen is our emotional diet. So all that we need to take care is of our emotional diet.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So if we turn off that mass media, the negative mass media, and go within, or at least pay attention to good news, because there's a lot of good things happening out in the world. It's not all negative.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not all negative.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I have to choose the right one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
You. So, but if the morning newspaper tells me that there was a theft in the locality where I stay, it's not going to tell me that 1 million people slept well last night.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to read and absorb first thing in the morning? That robberies is a very normal part of life today. And that's how I will start thinking. And then I will create fear and I will create anxiety. And the more I create that, the more of that starts happening in the world. So it's a very deep connection between media and the state of the mind and the state of the world.
Mm-hmm.
About 12 years back, we started this television program called Awakening with Brahma Kumaris in India. Mm-hmm. When we started, there was no plan in what we were doing. It was just a 30-minute TV program. It is an era where there was not so much of social media then. And within a year or so, I met quite a few people who had been watching that program daily, just 25 minutes of positive media. And people created miracles in their life, like coming out of clinical depression. They were virgin the divorce, and together they've healed their relationship. I met a few people who were contemplating suicide. They started watching the program. They are better and happier people today. And when I met people like that, I realized the impact of media, because they had never come to the Brahma Kumari Center. They had never learned meditation. All that they were doing was 25 minutes of media sitting at home.
Mm.
And that's when it really hit me that if 25 minutes of media can have so much of impact on people in a positive direction, what would be the impact of media in the other direction?
Mm-hmm.
So I really firmly believe the impact of media and social media can change our destiny.
Mm-hmm. It certainly can. You know, back home in our mass media in the United States, they have their nightly news, and many people watch that before going to sleep. And a lot of that's negative. So then people go to bed with negative thoughts, and they wake up the next morning with more negative thoughts. So,
and then next morning again, they start the day with newspaper and news on television. So these two time slots are the risky ones, the early morning and the late night.
Right, right.
Because what we absorb early morning is going to work on us during the day. And what we absorb just before going to bed is going to work on us during our sleep. And these two time slots are the highest DRP for any news channel.
Mm-hmm. I see. That makes true.
That's how we are doing things, not the very right way.
Mm-hmm. I once went to a television station in Seattle, and I wanted to give them some good news for a television program. They were totally uninterested. They said, "Ted, if you can tell us about a car crash or a burglary or a robbery, we'll put that on the first of the news. But good news is something we don't publish here."
Yes. So it's like they will say good news is not what people is interested in. Mm-hmm. And people will say they don't show us good news.
Right.
So it's a decision someone has to take.
Right.
We shouldn't be living our life only for TRP and viewership. We should give the world what we believe is right for the world.
Then
it's for the world to take it up.
That's true.
We need to be morally and ethically right in what we are giving to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think media and social media is a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's even if we are presenting the specific situation, the way we present it,
mm-hmm.
the way we talk about it, is going to influence people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now everybody is media, because with social media, now everyone is media.
That's true. Yeah,
everyone has an opinion. Everyone mm-hmm. has something to write about and say about. Mm-hmm. So now it's not about what people are going to give us, but now it's our responsibility to take care that we consume carefully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We don't
right.
need to keep consuming everything that is on social media. Take care before we watch, read, listen, else just delete without even watching it.
Well, the purpose of my show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I can't thank you so much. Can't thank you enough for your beautiful work.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Shivani, if I may ask, I know we're you don't have a lot of time today, but how did you get interested in this particular topic, briefly?
It was my parents who first came to the Brahmakumaris Center,
mm-hmm.
and then when they were practicing this meditation, I saw a shift in their emotional health, and obviously they want their children to follow the same. I was a little reluctant earlier, but I think it just happened as an influence of parents doing that at home. And then it was more like an experiment, and there's no specific moment when I took to it. But it's been a very, very, very gradual journey of experimenting and experiencing. Initially, a logical mind, a scientific mind, had too many hurdles. I kept feeling how this is right, how can it be true? But everything works out when you start experimenting with it. Spirituality is very scientific. Mm-hmm. We just need to experiment. And once we experience, that's where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing. Well, you have an incredible tour lined up, from Leicester to London to Manchester,
yeah.
To Paris, France, to Brussels in Belgium, Netherlands, Italy, Bologna, Roma, Madrid in Spain, Tenerife in Bonn in Germany, Frankfurt, Lisbon back in Portugal. Will you be coming to the United States anytime soon?
I was there in June last year and the year before that. Probably would plan for next year. That's 2020.
Okay. Well, anything I can do to help publicize your event, please let me know.
Sure, definitely. And it would be lovely if you come to the Brahmakumaris Center, which is there in Seattle. It's a lovely center there. And we have a lovely Brahmakumaris family all practicing meditation together and firmly believing in the collective consciousness of when everyone does it together, we really radiate magical vibrations to the world. A shift that we create within collectively can create a shift in the world. So we love to have you coming over to the center. And if you come to India, do let me know. We'd love to have you there at Mount Abu, which is the headquarters of the Brahmakumaris.
Well, thank you. It's a friend of mine went to Abu, Michi Kohayashi went there last year, and she loved it. And I would love to go. Thank you so much for the beautiful invitation. I would love to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Shivani. And let me...
Just a minute. Yeah, just a minute. Rachel would like to talk to you.
Okay.
Other people have to write, so if you wanted to continue a little bit longer,
okay,
and do
yes.
a little bit more, that's fine with you.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
About 10 minutes, is that fine with you?
Yes, that would be totally fine. Yes, of course. That would be wonderful. Shivani, I think you... Yeah, I think your work's going to become even more important in the coming years. As the planets, the vibrations of the planet continue to rise, and people become more and more interested in creating a beautiful planet rather than engaging in war and conflict.
Right. We firmly believe that our thoughts, our vibrations, mm-hmm. are what influence the state of the planet. Mm. It's our thoughts which influence our body. Our thoughts influence people. Our thoughts influence nature, the environment. Our thoughts influence the food we eat. Our thoughts influence the water we drink. Mm. So when we're creating more of a negative thought pattern, it's not just affecting the mind. It's affecting the body. It's affecting the food we eat. It's affecting the water we drink. So everything just declines in terms of its vibration. Mm. At Brahmakumaris, we've been doing a very wonderful project for the last couple of years. It's called Yogic Kheti. Yogic means meditation and kheti means farming. Mm-hmm. So we have a team of brothers and sisters who go and meditate in the farms. And they meditate with the fruits, the vegetable and the grain. And it's amazing to see the result. Mm-hmm. One, it's organic. We're not using any chemicals, pesticides. But the second is using the power of thoughts to influence plants, fruits, vegetables. The color, the size, the taste. Mm. It's fantastic to see that. And that's where we understand it's so scientific. And when we see this, we understand that we have the power to influence the planet. And we all are looking for a new world, mm-hmm. a world of harmony, unity. Mm-hmm. And that will only happen by creating a shift within. Mm-hmm. In Hindi, it's a very beautiful word. In Hindi, it's a very beautiful word called sanskar. Sanskar means sanskar. My thinking pattern. Mm-hmm. And sansar means the world. So if I change my sanskar, the sansar will change. Mm-hmm. When we change, the world will change. So when we work on ourselves and create a shift, really, it's not just about us. Mm-hmm. We're making a contribution to shift the vibration of the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really simple to change the world, to work within. Even if one day you don't create anger, you use peace and patience, we've contributed towards creating a peaceful world.
That's right. That's right.
And that's really been the principle of the Brahmakumaris, right, since 1937 when the organization started. Mm-hmm. That was the motto of the organization, mm-hmm. self-change, world change.
Mm-hmm. Well, as my friend Mahatma Gandhi has told me, be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Singh, and I'm sure we get to meet sometime.
Wonderful. I'd love to meet you in person, Shivani.
Sure.
Thank you again
sure.
so much for all your
Thank
really
you.
Beautiful work. All
Bye.
Right. Namaste, Ji. Namaste.
Namaste, Ji.
Namaste. Hello, friends. We've got a few minutes left for the rest of this first hour, and I have two wonderful people with me today. A gentleman named Conrad, who's a spiritual book publisher here in Germany. We're just outside Munich today, and also too, I have the well-known Michiko Hayashi, who's the director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. And Conrad and Michi, thank you so much for being on my show today.
Thank you. Thank you. Me too.
I know this is not, the film is not ready yet, but could you tell us a little bit about the film you're working on and about Dr. Emoto?
I'm his German publisher, and I got touched by his work. It is mm-hmm. so important what Dr. Emoto did with his work. You know, how should I describe it? For example, when people, so homeopathic doctors really could show with the photos of Dr. Emoto's how really homeopathic works. So it was very important really here in Germany to have his work published and his books published. Yeah. And so I did a small movie about his work because I got personal touch by him. And in this movie I want to show from really how it affects our world.
Wonderful. And I know, Michiko, you've been helping with that effort. Were you touched by the film?
Oh, I was really, really deeply touched. As soon as I started to watch this, my tears started to come out because I was so happy and grateful and touched by the movie film that Conrad had been working on. It's a beautiful message that he made.
Well, you know, the timing's perfect because we've got to keep up this momentum of shifting into the higher dimensions. I think it's our destiny to create a much better and loving planet. We don't need to be fighting all the time. We don't need to have war. War is an anachronism. It's in the past. And we all have the spark of that God force or supreme being with us. And once we realize that, we realize we're all one.
Yeah, and this was the mission of Dr. Emoto's work.
Right.
Yeah, and he wanna say it's really time for us that we take care that that our children and our grandchildren has a beautiful that has a beautiful world, and we can do something for that.
Yeah,
everybody.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've published many beautiful books and spiritual books, which have really helped in the ascension of humanity, and you're doing it again now with this new film. It will be released at the end of July, and we'll have another program on it at that point.
Yeah, it's a seven minute film, and I got touched by Dr. Emoto's work, and I hope I reach the people.
Right, and I know you will, Conrad, through with your work. You already have, actually. And Michi, I'd love your comment on the film, too.
Yes, it's such a short video that everybody can watch easily, and it has very, very strong message that Dr. Emoto always wanted to share with people, what the earth wants, and how important to learn about water. He talks about we are one, respect nature, respect others, and you will be able to see water crystals that Conrad made in that film. It's a short movie that everyone really appreciates watching it because it is very beneficial for each person.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we're all here to create a much better and happier world. If you were the king and queen of the planet right now, Conrad and Michiko, what would be the first thing that you'd do if you could?
Stop war. Stop hating. Stop all the stupid things what a lot of people doing.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Right.
No kid, no person has to die of hunger on this world. We have enough, really, to feed everybody.
Right, absolutely. And Michiko, what would you do?
I would like to say the same thing, but I would like to say, respect yourself, respect others, share what you have with everyone. If we only share, not trying to hold it for yourself with the greed, but to share with everyone, we have everything enough. I remember that Dr. Emoto always said, of course, we have so many people living on Earth, 60 billion, 70 billion people, but only if we share the food with everyone, we have enough. Right. As Conrad said.
I think you're absolutely right, and I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. Could I bring you on at the end of my next hour?
Yes, please. Okay, I'm happy.
I will, because we're running out of time here on the second hour. For those of you listening now, I'm broadcasting live today from a beautiful little town called Dorfen, just outside Munich in Germany. It's a beautiful summer day, and we'll be back here in a few minutes with our next hour. Please stay tuned, my friends.
どこから